Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this show. Appreciate you listening to us. Ed Vitagliano is with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman. Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
We are here, and it is not a quiet news day.
Not a quiet news day. We're going to get right to that. Let me first say what a wonderful time I had, Allison, my wife, and I had with a lot of our supporters last week. We had a good trip to Williamsburg and also Washington, D.C., and Mount Vernon. It was a great time to spend with 113 of my closest friends. Most all of them were supporters of AFA or listeners to American Family Radio and listened to this show, Today's Issues. So I want to say hello to everybody who went with us. And if I could take 20 minutes, I'm going to go in alphabetical order.
Go ahead, say it.
Okay, and talk about the Johnsons, but I'll get to them in a few minutes. Just seriously, thank you for supporting us, and we had a lot of fun on the trip. It was good fellowship, and it's always good for me to come back to our staff and tell them, hey, folks out in the country that listen to AFA and AFR, they're counting on us. They're supporting us. They're praying for us, and they're following our lead. And so that's a heavy responsibility, but with the Lord's help, we can do it.
Amen.
All right, Fred, so what's leading the news this morning?
Well, all morning what's been leading the news is a second accuser against Judge Brett Kavanaugh, this one also going back 30 years. And we're going to get to all of that in a moment, but there is breaking news in the last 5 minutes. The Deputy Attorney General of the United States, Rod Rosenstein, he's basically been overseeing the Mueller investigation. There are reports at this hour that he is headed to the White House for a meeting with Chief of Staff General Kelly. And the reports that we have, and I stress reports at this moment, are that he may have tendered his resignation this morning before the trip to the White House, Rod Rosenstein, Deputy Attorney General, in advance of knowledge that he's likely been called to the White House to be fired. Now, that is what we know. That is confusing, but those are the reports at this hour. Now, this all follows this big New York Times story last week in which they came out and they reported on a meeting. And this occurred, I believe, around the time when James Comey, former FBI director, was being fired, that Ron Rosenstein said he thought about bugging himself, putting a bug on himself to record his conversations with President Donald Trump.
Wearing a wire.
All right. Now, he denied that. Rod Rosenstein denied that. But it was put out by the New York Times, and they quoted various sources in all of this. So Rosenstein has been a controversial figure. There's no question about that. He is the guy that basically has promoted the Mueller investigation on alleged collusion between the Russians and the Trump candidate, Trump.
You've heard
during 2000.
You've heard of the Bridge to Nowhere?
Yeah.
This Rosenstein is responsible for the investigation to Nowhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Huh? He's the one that hired Mueller. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
And was supposed to put limitations on the Mueller investigation. Say this is what you're supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
This is we're wanting to find out the answers to these questions, and that's it. That's what he was supposed to have done.
Mm-hmm. And you got to layer the background to this, as we've been reporting for many months now, the text messages between FBI agent Peter Strzok and his girlfriend at the FBI, Lisa Page, talking about plans to discredit the candidacy and then the presidency of Donald Trump. That's all part of this story. So what we know at this hour, apparently Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein headed to the White House. The report is that he may have tendered his resignation before traveling over there because he thinks he's going to be fired.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm just looking at Fox and MSN News, all of them just have three paragraphs. They're all saying this story is developing. Please check back for updates because this is happening as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're showing a video of the White House right now.
This is from Axios.
Who
broke the story. And what they say is that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein has verbally resigned to Chief of Staff John Kelly in anticipation of being fired by President Trump, according to a source with direct knowledge. So probably, most likely, this morning, Rosenstein got a call saying, will you please come to the White House?
Can I come to the principal's office?
Come to the White House, and we want to talk.
You know, I don't want to read things into this, but this is pretty brilliant. President Trump, you know, there's all kinds of talk. Is he going to fire Rod Rosenstein because maybe that gives him the opportunity to put someone in his place, who then fires Mueller, et cetera, et cetera. If you just kind of hint around, Rod, I want to see you, and then some people around Rod Rosenstein go, yeah, you're going to get fired. Trump doesn't have to do anything,
right?
Because in order to save his pension, Rod Rosenstein needs to resign rather than get fired. So you're actually setting the stage for Rosenstein to do himself in.
Yeah, and Trump could say, I just wanted to chat about the FISA documents. Why'd you resign?
I wanted to talk about this New York Times article.
Yeah. How about the Yankees? Can we get a shot?
Yeah. I wasn't going to fire you, Rod, but come on, Rod. Now that you resign, what can we do?
You know, this is great news because Rosenstein was behind a lot of the mischief at the Department of Justice, and he maybe wasn't behind some of the Clinton stuff and all that from years ago, but he was, at a minimum, covering it up by trying to protect these documents from being released. So it'll be a very interesting few days at the
DOJ. Sometimes it's so much news, it's hard to keep up with. The Devin Nunes investigation, his committee, right? Mm-hmm. I forgot what the committee is. Anyway, he's the Republican.
House Intelligence.
He's a Republican from California who has been trying to investigate what the role was of the DOJ/FBI in the whole
Russia probe.
Russia probe and then the Trump and the election and everything like that, right?
Right. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Walker. You follow this closer than I do, but the Devin Nunes and his committee have been. They even go in so far as subpoenaing records, from the FBI, so they can make a determination on what all went on over there.
Right.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Now Rosenstein is the one who has been blocking the committee from having access to these documents and papers,
right.
Even though the Congress has the constitutional oversight authority of the FBI, that's the reason it's not the KGB.
Right.
Okay. So it's the people's representatives have oversight. If you don't have oversight of the FBI, then they're just there.
Nobody
just,
does.
Then they're just, that's dangerous.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm not talking about control, but although you do have ultimate control.
Yes.
The president does. But I'm talking about if somebody's not going to oversee what they're doing. So is this Rosenstein? Has he been the one?
He's been the
stiff arming Devin Nunes.
Yes, according to multiple reports, he's been the one slow rolling the whole document release process. He's the one who went to the White House late last week and urged President Trump, don't release the FISA documents, don't release the FISA documents. And that's why President Trump backtracked over the weekend in releasing all those documents because of Rosenstein.
I thought it was foreign leaders. A couple of foreign leaders had said, we don't want our names exposed.
Well, maybe that too. But Rosenstein, at the end of the day, he didn't want the documents released either because his name is in a lot of that stuff. He's signed off on a lot of it. Even since
maybe
he's been
president.
In.
Well, we'll find out. So you're saying the breaking news is that it's about a 2-minute drive from the Justice Department to the White House. I was there last week, maybe 5 minutes. So it shouldn't take long for this story to be confirmed.
We may get all of those documents now. I don't know who's in charge now, because it can't be Sessions because he's recused himself from everything regarding Department of Justice business. but it will be interesting to know who's in charge. There's this number three guy, the Solicitor General, Noel Francisco, who was appointed by Trump and who has sided with President Trump on multiple issues in court.
I'll tell you what happened here. Did I interrupt that thought?
No, and so it'll be interesting to see if we end up getting all the documents now that Rosenstein's okay. gone.
This is mere speculation on my part, and then we'll move on to whatever other stories you got, Fred, here. But this is mere speculation on my part, but just trying to put two and two together here, when you factor in what the president has said and his personality type and such, I'll bet you when that story broke last week that about Rosenstein saying, remember the New York Times reported that somebody was in a meeting with Rosenstein and that he had said something about, talked about going and trying to tape the president, secretly tape the president, so that it could then be used to get him out of office.
Mm-hmm. Under the 25th Amendment.
In other words, as unfit.
Right.
I think when the president read that, he probably believed it. And somebody said it was a joke that Rosenstein had said. I don't know,
That's been the defense.
Or has he even said it at all? Or I don't even know.
No, he did not deny saying it. He denied the...
being serious about it.
Yeah, exactly.
He said it was a joke. If I'm President Trump, I'm going, I don't care if it's a joke or not, Rod.
Right.
In this climate, knowing what I know about the cesspool over there that you are, in, if you feel comfortable enough with this bunch over there, mm-hmm. that's my word, to joke about something like that,
right?
And then this person releases it to the media, saying you weren't joking. So I'm supposed to figure out whether you're joking.
Yeah,
or not.
Right. Here are what some reports are saying. Some reports are saying that Andrew McCabe is in a squeeze. He's under grand jury review. That's been reported. He's under grand jury review for lying under oath and perjuring himself and leaking documents to the media while serving as the interim FBI director when Comey was fired. So Comey's in a squeeze, and McCabe's in a squeeze. He's under grand jury review. He's frustrated because Rosenstein and all these others are getting off without any kind of punishment. He's going to bring everybody down with him. So McCabe was in the meeting where Rosenstein joked about or seriously said about taping the president. So McCabe's leaking these memos of his recollection of the meetings, and he's bringing down Rosenstein and everybody else with him.
All right. And as sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our politics. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed Walker and Fred. If you just can't get enough of this stuff, people, if you just can't get enough, Walker will bring you 30 minutes of this every Saturday, won't you, Walker?
That's right, a quick 30 minutes.
Okay, what's the show called?
Exposing Washington.
And what time does it air?
2:30 Central on AFR.
Saturday afternoons? Can I download your podcast?
Yes.
How do I do that?
On your smartphone or on your computer device.
Just download the podcast of the program Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
That's right.
Went on a tour last week. You got a lot of fans out there. Enjoy your program.
Great.
On AFR.
And Exposing Washington, you don't even need a microscope.
No.
I mean, it's just bubbling over.
Yeah.
It's just plain 20/20 eyesight will get you more than you want to
see. I think the show has a wrong name. It ought to be called Swampland.
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 Yeah. Yeah, Swampland with Walker. Next on AFR, Swampland with Walker Wildman. Oh, man. All right. So, so Judge Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Update us with this
two
saga.
Updates since last we met. Two updates. There is agreement now between Judge Kavanaugh's first accuser, Christine Ford. Dr. Christine Ford, as to when she will come before the Senate Judiciary Committee to give her side of the accusation that she has made against Judge Kavanaugh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you're familiar with it. 36 years ago, she says that he did something not sexually nice to her.
Yeah, she filed her police report, didn't she, Fred?
No.
Oh, she didn't?
No.
She got collaborating witnesses, right?
No. In fact, she has a fuzzy memory on some of this. She's
all
not
right.
really sure it happened.
All right.
But I think the Democrats have been encouraging her to refresh her memory. Anyway, this coming Thursday is when that hearing is scheduled. Now, about the only thing that the Republicans have gotten out of this so far, she wanted to testify after Brett Kavanaugh appears before that committee.
Better hurry up, Fred. I'm getting angrier. I'm about to explode, but you go ahead.
When Kavanaugh doesn't even know what she's going to say.
No, right. No. They did win that, but that was about all they won on this. Now, the other story that broke last night, there is a second woman who has come forward. Now, the first woman, this was a high school case. This one says she went to Yale when Judge Kavanaugh was a student there. Her name is Deborah Ramirez. Also, this goes back 30 years ago when now she is saying she thinks she remembers Judge Kavanaugh doing something not nice at a party. Very similar to the first accuser story.
What was it? What can you give us a legal name? Or was like
of what he what, allegedly
was, was she saying he did?
Something sexual.
Rape?
No.
What? No. Rope?
Just exposing.
Expose himself.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what she's saying.
That's what she's saying. Here's the problem. She named several people who she said were around and saw this.
Uh-huh.
The New York Times has gone out to find these people, and they have no recollection of what Deborah Ramirez is saying happened.
Yeah, the people that she said were there.
Yes.
Said, I don't remember that happening.
Judge Kavanaugh is being Roy Moore'd.
Yes.
And let me just add something, you may have some of this too. I'm not trying to, but just to add to this sense here, George Stephanopoulos interviewed Ronan Farrow, who's kind of taken the lead, one of the lead reporters on this, Deborah Ramirez.
Yes.
Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. He, in the interview with Farrow, Stephanopoulos, the ABC reporter, says, this jumped out at me. You said at first she, Deborah Ramirez, wasn't sure if this was Kavanaugh last week. And you write that after 6 days of carefully assessing her memories and consulting with her attorneys, she did become confident that it was him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
May I talk?
Yes.
For just a minute. By the way, you can watch our show on Facebook and YouTube, right, Walker?
That's right.
As long as they
let us. You want to watch this show? You want to watch today's issues, this show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube and type in today's issues AFR. Okay. By the way, Judge Moore, Judge Roy Moore, I've never used his name as a verb. Mm-hmm. Until a while ago, but that's you've heard of being borked.
Right.
What I'm saying is, a year ago, this is what happened, or whenever it was.
Yeah.
This is the same type of stuff that would happen with Judge Roy Moore.
In Alabama.
Yeah, these people who, there's no police report, there's nobody to verify their stories.
There are facts that contradict the claims.
Yeah, all this stuff, but you, story or stories, in this case, but here's how I would handle this if I were Chuck Grassley from Iowa, who's the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I would also put Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, in this same boat. What's this woman's name from California? Judge, what's her name?
The first woman is Dr. Christine Ford. She's a professor.
I would have a press conference today if I were Chuck Grassley, and I would say, look, we're not going to listen to this lady. What's her name? Professor?
Dr. Ford.
We're not listening to her. She had her chance. She had her chance she's had her chance to come forward. We're not going to hear this salacious, unverifiable story. We're just not going to do it. We're not a three-ring circus here. We're not Inside Edition, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not the National Enquirer here at the United States Senate Judiciary Committee. So we're not hearing her because there's. If we're going to hear her, then where do we have no threshold at all for what you have to do to get before the United States Senate. You just have to say, I was so-and-so, and I need to be heard. So we're not hearing her. And secondly, let me say this. This is me if I were Chuck Grassley or Mitch McConnell. Let me say this. Dianne Feinstein should be ashamed of herself, and she should be censured because she's had this anonymous letter since July, and she drops it on us a week before we're supposed to vote. Doesn't even do it during the hearings.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So Dianne Feinstein should be ashamed of herself, and we see what's going on here. And so we're going to have a vote, and if Jeff Flake, the senator from Arizona, wants to hear this story, and this is going to prevent him from voting for Kavanaugh. This is not the reason Jeff Flake wouldn't vote for Kavanaugh. No. It's because he hates Donald Trump.
Right.
And anything Trump's for, he's against. So that's what's going on here, people. That's what I would say if I were Charles Grassley and or Mitch McConnell. Because that is the plain, open truth about this story. The fact that they would let her speak at all to the committee, this judge, this...
On her terms.
This professor.
Christine Ford.
Is an indictment of the Republican leadership in the Senate.
Yeah.
It really is. They should not let this happen. Go ahead, Walker.
Well, and to prove your point, they had 30-plus hours of sworn testimony.
Yes.
Not this past week, but the week before that.
Yes.
At which the Democrats get to pick who comes forth to testify against Kavanaugh's nomination.
And Dianne Feinstein held that.
Dr. Ford, or even a person for her, her attorney, Dr. Ford could have picked who comes forth, reads her letter before on national television before the committee under oath. Yeah. But she didn't do that.
And to your point, Tim, you said if you were Senator Chuck Grassley, this disturbed me. This was a tweet from Chuck Grassley on the weekend. With all the extensions we give Dr. Ford to decide if she still wants to testify to the Senate, I feel like I'm playing second trombone in the Judiciary Orchestra, and Schumer is the conductor. Do you understand, people, what he is saying there? Schumer...
But is he indicting... Isn't he indicting himself?
He is.
He's admitting.
He's saying, I'm weak.
Yeah.
I'm Chuck Grassley. I'm the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I'm pathetic.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead,
is that what he's saying?
And I'm being outfoxed by Chuck Schumer.
And I'm going to tell you I am, publicly, to the world.
Here's to both of your points, here's what's frustrating.
I made a point, too. Walter,
yeah, right? Well, Ed, you're great, too.
I love you. Thank you.
Yeah. But in reality, behind closed doors, it's not Chuck Grassley holding this up. It's Jeff Flake. Hmm. There are multiple reports that Jeff Flake's the one saying, in order for me to vote for Kavanaugh or to even vote at all, I have to first hear from Dr. Ford. Hmm. And so, but here's what would happen. If that were Senator Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or another conservative who was the lone voice holding up a vote, like on the budget or something else, McConnell and all of their people would be coming out publicly blasting Cruz or whoever the holdup was, and they would be saying, this is why we don't need conservatives in the Senate, because they block everything we want to do.
They're cuckoo birds.
Yeah.
That's
but when it's one, but when it's one of their own, right, like Jeff Flake, somebody right that they not agree with 99% of the time, they will not criticize them publicly.
Right.
And they do all that they can do to kowtow.
I'm kind of surprised that Chuck Grassley would publicly admit that he's being led around by Chuck Schumer. I mean, what else could he be saying?
That's what he said.
I think he had to state the obvious because everybody else was saying it.
But how sad.
I'm pathetic.
Well,
right.
It's what the Republicans have been doing since Trump got elected, being led around by the nose by Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
So when they win, they're still losers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
On the next Today's Issues, we'll talk with Sandy Rios of Sandy Rios in the Morning.
There's so much information. I have to tell you, every morning when I wake up, I probably have an additional From the time I go to bed till I wake up in the morning, probably another 100 email about this. So I'm trying to present as clearly as I can something that's very complex.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Len Ingram of Redeem Clean felt God call him to support the American Family Association.
I'm a laundryman. I'm the son of a laundryman, too. I love clean clothes. I love the business. I love everything about it. This project was built exclusively to support AFA and AFR. There's no strings attached. Another thing that I would like to see come out of this is that I would like to see other business people feel a calling to support ministries, wherever and whatever they do to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and get Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. Former Vice President Joe Biden unleashed a vicious attack on supporters of President Trump. It happened during a speech before the Human Rights Campaign, an LGBTQ civil rights organization.
There are a small percentage of the American people, virulent people. Some of them the dregs of society.
How ironic that an organization that opposes bullying and intolerance applauded for a man who was advocating bullying and intolerance. It's not the first time the radical left has smeared conservatives. President Obama once called us bitter, clinging to our guns and religion. Hillary Clinton called us a basket of deplorables. So I'm not all that surprised that a foul-mouthed political hack like Joe Biden would call all of us flag-waving patriots a bunch of virulent dregs of society. To be perfectly honest, though, I'd rather be a gun-toting, Bible-clinging dreg of society than an unemployed pajama boy liberal. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, if you're looking for non-passionate, monotone NPR discussions of issues, this is not your place. If you were with us the last 15 minutes, I'm out of breath for my part. And you ever listen to and NPRs, they have some, you know, they do some great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure, but it's always like, so, Senator, can you tell us about nuclear holocaust next week? And if you know, what do you think about that? Could you?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just like there's no,
energy.
No energy at all.
Yeah, it's low. It's low energy NPR.
Yeah. That's what Jeb Bush radio. Yeah. That was good. And I probably would like Jeb Bush.
President Trump.
I would probably like Governor Bush had if I hung out with him. But you got to admit, when Trump came up with that line.
Oh yeah,
low energy Jeb
and Bush never Jeb Bush never got covered. Out from under it. Yeah,
no, because it's one of those things where you say, "No, I'm not low energy." Yeah, you are. Listen to yourself.
And if your personality is more reserved, right. Then when you try to be high energy Jeb,
it's fake.
Yeah. Your voice gets too high. You know, yeah, you just know.
I'm taking off my jacket now.
Yeah. I'm really high energy.
Let me tell you something, Donald Trump. I am not low energy.
I am not low energy. I'm high energy. See? Watch me be high energy.
I'm about to raise my voice.
There.
I'm the governor.
I just did it.
All right. So we shall return to the news momentarily. But first of all, once a week, we like to talk to our good friend Len Ingram from Redeem Clean. That is the laundry detergent that we are offering here. And if you, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I boycott when I have to, like Target. But I sure would like to buy somebody's product that supports Christian. You know, I'd like to yeah. I'd like to have a boycott every once in a
right.
while, like a lot of people did with Chick-fil-A. Well, we've got just the product for you. The good folks at Redeem Clean, who we work with, they support the mission and ministry of AFA and AFR. And Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, the two Texans, are responsible for that. And Lynn has been a supporter of ours for a long time. He joins us every week to answer a cleaning question, hey, laundry question. How you doing, Lynn?
Hey, Tim. We do not want to be low energy on this.
That's right. Is that HE we see? Is that high energy? You know, on the detergent uh-huh. and on things, it says HE. I don't know what that.
High efficiency.
Oh, it's high efficiency. I don't know.
You've added a new definition to that. I love it, Tim. Thank you.
High energy. Okay, folks, you can go to our website, afastore.net, afastore.net, and purchase your Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, which was created by Lynn and Jim. Lynn's on the phone with us right now. He spent 4 decades in the laundry business, right, Jim? Lynn?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they're in Abilene. By the way, I met some folks on my tour who from Abilene, and they raved about your company.
Did they know us?
Yeah, they did. They did, and they were saying you're a good guy, and they use your laundry service.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the plug.
Absolutely. Well, all right, now tell us, afastore.net, folks, if you want to, we encourage you to go and buy your bottle of Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent, and you can also help AFA at the same time. Now, the question this week, Lynn, is benefits of dryer sheets, should I use them? What about that question?
Great question. There's been a lot of that, a lot of questions asked about that on the website, and this is a question directly from the website. There are benefits of dryer sheets. Number one, they soften the clothes in the dryer. They remove static electricity, and they are scented. A lot of people like that clean, fresh fragrance of dryer sheets. However, some people have really sensitive skin or they're allergic to any fragrance. And, Tim, that was why we developed our free and clear laundry detergent. It has no scent, has no fragrance. It's just a good cleaning detergent that has none of that. And all of these, all of our products are made in the United States. All of them are made by us except the dryer sheet. And so one of the questions that has come up, Lynn, can we buy the product? Can we order the service without dryer sheets? Tim, we've kind of changed our business model on that, and we're going to offer that in the next couple of weeks. We're working with your web design people and ours and your store people so they can order laundry detergent only without the dryer sheets. To order the scent-free laundry detergent that has no fragrance, has no odor, and it is, you know, won't be sensitive to skin but doesn't have any allergic reaction, they can order just that, or if they like the fragrance, the unique fragrance that we have developed in our liquid, also they can order that too, with or without dryer sheets.
Lynn,
we're trying to meet the needs of what people are wanting and needing.
Hey, Lynn, Ed here. I just this question of benefits of dryer sheets. Let me ask you if this is true, that if you wear a dryer sheet over your head, the devil will not be able to hear your thoughts. Is that true?
I can tell you this, mosquitoes do not like fragrances, and you can rub your clothes, you can rub your skin with dryer sheets, and a lot of times, mosquitoes do not bother you.
Okay, so I'm going to take that.
That's another side benefit.
Okay. Is this some kind of inside joke?
No.
I have no idea what you people are talking about. You're describing some kind of pagan worship ceremony.
No.
And Lynn's answering Lynn goes off on mosquitoes.
When people talk about the aluminum hats and stuff like that.
Okay.
You don't know about that either?
Conspiracy theories?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what y'all talking about over
well,
here.
Well, Lynn, I thought it was funny, but I lost the rest of the panel. They didn't get but you did. Hey, listen, so keeps mosquitoes away, keeps the devil from hearing your thoughts when you pray, and makes you high energy. This is all benefits of these dryer sheets.
All right.
Tim,
yes.
I did not claim any of those except the mosquitoes, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, listen, tell folks again, as you do every week, Lynn, why you, I know you're a listener and supporter, why you created this this Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent.
Tim, the Lord called us to support you. Called us to support AFA, AFR in whatever capacity that any way you want to use these proceeds. Anyway, and we were just called to do it. We didn't know how to do it. We didn't know what to do it with. We didn't know what platform to put it on to support it with AFA and AFR. But after coming and meeting you and your bride on a spiritual heritage tour 2 years ago this September, and also coming and meeting with your executive board and your staff and your whole group that works for and with you, we're more convinced now more than ever that this is a great place for all of us to put our resources, our time, our talent, our energy, our creativity, everything, because y'all, the AFA and AFR does not back down.
So you're not
backbone and you stand up.
Amen. So you're not making money off this deal.
No, sir.
I wanted people to know that. I think they know that you're doing this because you believe in what we're doing. I wanted folks to know that you've dedicated time and a lot of your own personal resources, you and Jim, to creating this product, to getting this going for AFA to benefit our ministry. And it's nothing. This is basically just charity work for you because you believe in what we do. And I appreciate it, Lynn. And God bless you, brother. Until next time, we'll.
You bet. Have a good one, guys.
Bye bye.
Hope to see you soon. High energy.
High energy. Okay. All right. Folks, go buy your bottle of Redeem Clean. Walker, can they do that?
Yes, afastore.net.
And you can read about it there.
Yes.
And if you don't like it, you don't have to reorder it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But just check it out because a certain percentage of the sales comes to help us here at AFA and AFR because. That's what Lynn wanted to do. Lynn and Jim wanted to do to benefit our ministry. Just great people, and like I said, some people they don't mind boycotting, but every once in a while you want to boycott. You want to support something,
right?
And these guys are helping us, and we appreciate it. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, where we continue to watch Rod Rosen's the parking. I guess the door at the gate at the White House has it been opened?
No, not yet.
So the report is the breaking news is what, Fred?
Breaking news is this: that Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. The reports are that he has either already resigned that position, or he has announced he's going to resign ahead of a meeting that he's been called to the White House to meet with Chief of Staff General Kelly. Where he thinks he's going to be fired. Mm-hmm. That's where this story stands at the moment.
Who are we sourcing here?
Multiple reports.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems like there's two different sides of this, and they're both trying to get their side of the story out there because you're having some reports say that Rosenstein is resigning, and then there's some that are saying the president tried to force him to resign this weekend, and he wouldn't, so now he's going to the White House to be fired. So there's a couple of different angles to it, but probably tomorrow or the next day we'll have what happened.
Is he the FBI director?
No, he's the number two at the Department of Justice.
Who's the FBI director now?
Christopher Wray.
Yeah, Christopher Wray.
Oh, yeah. You're a big fan of his too, aren't you, Walker?
No, I really haven't gone after Christopher Wray much because – I don't know. I mean, he hasn't done much that I know of that would cause me to criticize him. He kind of seems to be stuck in a bad situation, and so.
Let me see if anybody has an answer to this question. This is a mystery to me, and we've talked about this before. I do not understand the relationship between Attorney General Jeff Sessions and his boss, the President of the United States, Donald Trump. President Trump is publicly critical of his own attorney general. And yet, he could fire him today if he wanted to. So, make sense of that one, Ed.
Well, the only explanation I've heard that makes sense to me, because it is one of those things, and you've mentioned it on the show, the public criticism of the Attorney General from Donald Trump. It, you know, you don't do your staff that way. The only explanation I've heard is that Trump would probably like for Jeff Sessions to go, fire him, have him resign, whatever, but then he's got to go through the rigmarole of having a new one confirmed with a slim majority in the Senate. Maybe he's waiting to see if Republicans can pick up some seats in the Senate, and then he can ask Sessions to step down or fire him.
Walker?
Yeah, I agree with Ed. I mean, you're having Jeff Flake woofle waffle on the false accusations by Dr. Ford. So if he's waffling on that, imagine how many more Republican senators would waffle on the idea of Jeff Sessions being fired and then someone else taking over and ending the Mueller probe. So
the Senate doesn't want, the Senate Republicans don't want Jeff Sessions fired.
Yeah.
And let me just say this about this whole situation. But according to people I know who I trust, Attorney General Jeff Sessions is doing a really good job on a lot of issues. They're just not high profile issues necessarily because of the Mueller investigation and because Jeff Sessions recused himself. That is sort of all the headlines he gets, you know, and the president doesn't like it for obvious reasons. And the president said the other day, I don't have an attorney general.
Yeah, I think if the only redeemable aspect to this, the possibility there, is that if we can get rid of this Mueller probe and get it past us, I think you might can mend the relationship between President Trump and Sessions. But as long as this Mueller probe lingers out there and drags down the president in the public, mm-hmm. I think he's going to hold that grudge against Sessions.
And it is a grudge.
It is.
He's never gotten over the fact that Jeff Sessions recused himself on such flimsy grounds,
without even
really,
letting
in
Trump
terms
know.
Of, yeah,
he didn't even let Trump know.
Yeah. He's just never forgotten that.
Do you think Attorney General Sessions will get the Christmas party invite or not? And it will be a Christmas party, according to President.
Oh yes,
Trump.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
true.
Christmas.
It's not going to be a
holiday party,
winter solstice party.
Yeah. Well, was, also, if one more thing, if Sessions resigned or was fired by President Trump, who would be in charge of the DOJ prior to this morning? Mm-hmm. Rosenstein, mm-hmm. who's in all our, I mean, Jeff Sessions is a saint compared to Rosenstein.
Right.
I mean, Sessions recused himself, and some would say you shouldn't have. But other than that, Jeff Sessions has done great stuff at the Department of Justice. So I think President Trump didn't want Rosenstein in charge of the whole DOJ.
That is true. I think it has more to do with
the repercussions.
The repercussions of firing him.
I just don't know how this goes at a cabinet meeting, you know? Because a cabinet meeting, the president's there and the vice president's there and chief of staff's there, and they bring in all their, what do they got, 10 cabinet officials? Is that what it is?
I think there's 10 or 12.
10 or 12, Homeland Security, Department of Interior, Department of Defense, and all these guys, Secretary of State, and all these women and Secretary of Education, they're all sitting around the room there at the White House, and it's kind of like in center. General Sessions is sitting right beside President Trump, and it's kind of like, you know, and Donald Trump's not one to have an elephant in the room.
No.
You know? He just calls the elephant what it is.
Right.
So there's no elephant there. We all know what's going on here. I just wonder I would like to be a fly on the wall for that meeting.
Mm-hmm. So President Trump is going to listen. You're all doing great, great work. I appreciate all you're doing. Except for you, Jeff. You worm.
Are you going to accuse yourself of something else today?
I think you're right. That's what those meetings must be like. I hope if it does come to that, I hope he lets Jeff Sessions resign. I hope he does. And Jeff Sessions is a good
yes,
man.
Yes, yes. I hate he's out of the Senate. We lost that Senate seat because
at this point, I'm almost for keeping Jeff Sessions. I know President Trump doesn't feel this way, but you're not going to get someone like Jeff Sessions in there. You're not going to get him through the Senate.
For things we care about, too.
When you got a narrow, even if you pick up a couple seats in November, let's just say you got 53, 54 Republican senators, you're not going to get anyone as good as Jeff Sessions through the Senate because they'll block him.
Yeah, I think Jeff Sessions, too, is mature and wise enough to know that, I don't know him personally, but knowing people who do, he gets why President Trump is upset.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't like being publicly named every other week, you know, but he understands why why. And this other all the other good work that the Attorney General is doing, I guess you're right, Walker. The best case scenario for Jeff Sessions is hope, pray this Mueller thing gets over pretty quick, quicker in the next month I'm talking about, and he can put that behind him, and then he and the president can work together on a common agenda. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. What do you got next, Fred?
Well, the other big story today, a second accuser against Judge Brett Kavanaugh, very similar to the first one being Christine Ford, Dr. Ford, who says 36 years ago she thinks Kavanaugh did something as far as her memory, but she does admit she was drinking that night at a high school party, if there was a party.
Who's this now?
That's Christine, Dr.
We got
Ford.
Anything from 10, 15 years ago, Fred?
No.
To
your point, Tim, we've got 65 women who have come forward who have known Judge Kavanaugh for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Impeccable character is what they say.
Right.
But the media
A gentleman.
Hmm. Now, there's a second accuser this morning. This also going back 30 years to when Kavanaugh and this woman, Deborah Ramirez, they were students at Yale. Very similar story here. There was a big drunken party. The woman says, yeah, I was drinking. I think there were some other people there, but I can't verify that. But she talked to her lawyers on the weekend and said, oh, yeah, I'll go ahead and make the accusation public anyway. All right, here's Jonathan Turley. He is George Washington Law School professor Jonathan Turley. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. He says, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do with accusations like this? I think something happened, but I'm not sure. But I'm going to go public with it anyway. Here's Jonathan Turley. Cut one.
The Ramirez allegation involved multiple people that presumably could confirm whether this happened or not.
Right.
And the New York Times was unable to find someone who could do that. It's impossible not to be troubled by the timing of all this. These types of allegations coming after the hearings were completed, right before successive votes were scheduled, all leads to real concerns about how this process should unfold. But more importantly, it really goes to what is the burden, not of these women coming forward or to be heard, but what's the burden for senators? There has to be a modicum of fairness for Brett Kavanaugh. It cannot be the standard suggested by some Democratic senators that we'll just believe the accuser.
Yeah, and that's the point. If this becomes the new standard for accusations by women against men...
It is for Republicans. It's the standard for Republicans, but it's not going to be that for Democrats.
Right.
Look, Keith Ellison, your example.
Right. Yeah.
Keith Ellison, Democratic congressman, who's now running to be Attorney General of Minnesota. He has an accusation from his former girlfriend. Former girlfriend has posted doctor's notes on her
911 call.
911 calls.
That's what you call corroborating evidence.
Yes, exactly. And she's upset with the Democrats saying, hey, I'm telling you this. I have evidence that something happened. But the Democrats, we don't want to listen to that.
But the Democrats will only apply their own standard when the person being accused is, I like to use the word disposable. If they're not necessarily needed for the party to move on, for the agenda to move forward, Al Franken, they'll gladly get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
But Keith Ellison and Bill Clinton and these others serve an important role in the party, and they have very, very powerful positions, so they're not as likely to apply the same standard.
And let me add something here now. We probably all have read some things about the fact that Brett Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, has – now, I just can't hardly believe this, but he, from his high school days, has his calendars. He still has his calendars from 1982.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Times has an article about this. It says the calendar pages from June, July, and August 1982 – which were examined by the New York Times, showed that Judge Kavanaugh was out of town much of the summer at the beach or away with his parents. When he was at home, the calendars list his basketball games, movie outings, football workouts, and college interviews. A few parties are mentioned but include names of friends other than those identified by Dr. Ford.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look
at
that.
So he was a geek.
So the guy, the fact that he has his, not only made calendars in high school, but kept them.
Mm-hmm.
May save him.
I'm kidding because, you know, we're all should be grateful for, they are geeks because.
They run the country.
They run the country, yeah. But, I mean, he must have been a note taker, a meticulous. Well, he was a judge. Right. He went to law school. So
eventually,
that's the kind of folks who take notes like this.
That's right. And so he does mention parties, but none of the people that are identified by Dr. Ford. So the fact of the matter is, we don't know what's going on about that summer of 1982, and it should not derail the judge's confirmation.
You know, in a way, don't misunderstand me. I'm not glad that this happened for Judge Kavanaugh, what he's going through in his family here. But in a strange way, I'm kind of glad this is happening like it is, because what the Democrats are doing here is so blatant. It's so brazen. Mm-hmm. It's so obvious, you can't even pretend anymore. They are trying to delay and knock this guy out by something Dianne Feinstein saved as their last hope. Since July, she's had this anonymous letter from Professor Ford. And she saved it and dropped that grenade in the Senate, days before the vote?
After all the hearings were done.
After all the hearings.
After all the interviews between senators and Judge Kavanaugh.
They knew he's going to be confirmed unless we drop this bombshell. These are the same people who hang out with Harvey Weinstein, folks.
Right.
Allison, my wife, made an observation back during the... remember when President Trump was, Access Hollywood, the video came out a month or so before, and it had him talking.
It was in October, I think, before the election.
It had a 10-year-old video of the president, then just celebrity Donald Trump talking in a vulgar way about a woman there. Mm-hmm. Allison, my wife, said, all these liberal and these media and these celebrities are all acting indignant.
Right.
She said, this is how they talk to each other every day.
Mm-hmm.
This is how they live. In Hollywood and New York and in much of the business world, this is how they, you know, so they locker talk all the time. Or worse, Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey. You mean go down the whole list of people that
look
have
at
been,
the movies.
Matt
that,
Lauer.
Look at the movies that they make. Number one,
right,
and number two, we've read multiple reports and news stories about the kind of parties that they have out in Hollywood with underage boys and girls there. I mean, some of the stuff you read about that goes on in Hollywood is absolutely disgusting, and many of these folks are a part of it, but they're incensed about something, an accusation 30 years ago.
Yeah, all they're trying to do is knock out. They don't care about those issues. I really don't. Maybe some of them do, but most of those secular progressives, they don't care about those issues. They only care them in so much as they can try to use them against Republicans to stop their Supreme Court judicial appointments.
Listen to what Kellyanne Conway, White House spokesman, had to say about that this morning.
I thought that his comment last night about the second so-called accuser is incredibly instructive. He's now calling this a smear campaign. Indeed, this is starting to feel like a vast left-wing conspiracy. The New York Times says that they interviewed dozens of people over the last couple of weeks trying to verify the second accusation, and they couldn't go forward with the reporting. Nora, I know there's pent-up demand for women to get their day, women who have been sexually harassed and sexually assaulted. Are we going to put decades of pent-up demand for women to feel whole on one man's shoulders? What exactly is the standard for ruining one man's life based on decades of allegations that have nothing to do with him?
Yeah. Well, good
Kellyanne.
Good stuff. Yep. Thank you, Fred.
All right, you're welcome.
We're going to take a five-minute break for news, and then Walker Ed and I will be back with Steve Jordahl. So stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.